So I'm just real grateful. I believe the Lord has a word for you here this day. It's a very simple word, but with the reason in Jesus going to the cross for your life and my life and the city of Milwaukee, amen. So I pray that you pay attention here this morning, those viewing on Facebook. If you can settle down there in your living room, get situated, amen, to be able to hear the word of the Lord as it goes forth here this day. The title of this morning's message is SOS. SOS. SOS originated in the times of the Morse code. That was before the phone came. I looked it up, you know. I know what SOS means, but I was just wondering if there was a little more further insight to the word SOS that we all know as help. Amen? How many need help right now? How many have an SOS within their life right now where you need help? You know, and you've tried your best and you need Jesus' help. Amen. And so it was the Morse code, and they would hit the Morse code, SOS, SOS. It was a distress code. A distress code of emergency. Amen. The ships would also use it. It arrived also with the ships. And the SOS stood for Save Our Ship. So it was used back in the days in the ships where they were in battle or on fire. They would send out an SOS, Save Our Ship. Amen. The SOS of my heart and the heart of the Lord, I had the title, the breakdown SOS, I put Save Our Souls, SOS. Amen. But then I the Lord gave me, which I know is going to go towards the bridge that we are building right now and crossing over others unto salvation. I like to put it here this day, salvation of souls. That's with an S, that's plural. And I really believe in my heart that the Lord is going to do an end time radical salvation. Were lives that would have never thought they would even enter a church, such as mine back in the days. Amen. The toughest of the toughest, the hardest of the hardest, are going to reach a place within their life in having a SOS. An emergency within their life that the homeboy can't help them, money can't, education can, a gun, whatever it might be. But an SOS call in these end times that we're living in right now, that only God can answer, that only God can save our souls. And these times are drawing very near as I speak right now. And I want to get the church prepared for what the Lord is about to do. So when we see it happening, we will not be surprised, but we would know this is why we're here. We're not here just to come to church today. That's a good thing, and it may be where it starts. But there's a great SOS end time right now taking place all around the world. We see it. We see it all over the world. And storms and climate and the COVID and all these outer SOS that everybody can see on the news. But I want to speak about the SOS taking place within broken people's lives. An SOS that only Jesus can see right now. And I believe there might be some here at church this day. You're dressed nice. Everything's looking good. But within your heart, there's an SOS being called out. I believe someone viewing through Facebook here this day thought you were just going to hear another Sunday morning message, but there's a confirmation taking place within your life right now, for I believe some of you watching right now have a SOS situation within your life, and you're wondering why you're viewing online here this Sunday morning. Because we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, that is able to look into our hearts. And even though we might be going the wrong direction, making the wrong decisions, God's grace and mercy of forgiveness is able to cut right through what we've done to soften our heart in answering the call of receiving salvation, the SOS of help. Today, it was back in the days, it was the hood was the only place that needed help. But right now, currently, all around the world, Jesus' help is needed in the suburbs. The help of Jesus is needed. There's a SOS going out from parents. An SOS going out from children trying to figure it out. Young adults trying to figure life out. And they're trying to play it cool and look like everything's okay. But the truth is there's an SOS situation taking place within their lives. And that's what I want to preach about here this morning. What really matters to the heart of the Lord and my heart, and it should matter to the church, is the salvation of the lost and the bound. The very purpose why Jesus took it all the way to the cross for your life and my life. In the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus speaking says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." In other words, prior to the opening of our heart unto the Lord's knocking, we're enemies of the Lord. And the Lord is pleading here this day. He's knocking. And he's saying, look what's taking place around this world. Look what's taking place in the great city of Milwaukee. Look what's taking place in your life right now. But I believe he's really wanting us to hear his knock here this morning. The knock of grace and mercy, the knock of forgiveness, the knock of love of our Heavenly Father. And the reason and the purpose and why he sent his only begotten Son to pay the price in full for us to answer the knock on the door of our hearts here on this Sunday morning. I prayed today, a few days ago, into this message that drastically changed by this morning with points the Lord gave me this morning. And I pray that you would be able to hear the voice behind my voice that's knocking at your heart right now and making those changes to be able to receive Christ within your life and to be able to grow in your salvation so that we would be able to set the city of Milwaukee free with the salvation that Christ has to offer here this day. I placed in my notes and said that the Lord will always initiate relationship. The Lord will always be the one that initiates relationship with you and I. I know that is the proof because while I was in prison, I wasn't looking for the Lord, but he knew where I was at, and he came knocking while I was still in prison. He knew my condition. He knew where I'd been. He knew while I was there. And he knocked on the heart, on the door of my heart, 25 years ago. Because he had a plan and a purpose for my life. And I believe the Lord is still knocking this day as his coming approaches and draws near. The Lord will always initiate relationship, but every relationship, it takes two if it's going to work. Every relationship takes two if it's going to work. That holds true to our relationship with the Lord, holds true to our relationship with our spouse, with our children. And here the Lord wants to initiate a relationship with each and every one of us here this day. I'm going to share how the Lord initiated three times at knocking on my heart, trying to bring a change in my life long, long, long time ago. And every time he knocked, I let him in and I heard his voice. But I wouldn't do my part of the relationship in order for my salvation in Christ to work. When I was 24 years old, Christ knocked on my heart and I let him in, I put here. This was at my sister's church there in South Texas. I was 24 years old. It's before I even stepped foot in a county jail. I was already in addiction and cocaine. I was already dealing drugs. And Jesus came in my life, I mean like thunder. At the age of 24, and I didn't do my part within the relationship. And because of that, I would continue to grow in my addiction. I would continue to grow in my addiction, get deeper and deeper into sin. I would start to ODing for the first time. I would go to prison now because I didn't take heed to the relationship I had with Christ the first time he came knocking. And now I'm on my way to prison, doing several years, and upon getting out of prison, I went to another sister's house that tried to help me there in Northern California, and I got saved again. But like the first time, I once again didn't hold up my part of the relationship in Christ. And I would once again experience Jesus for the second time knocking on my door. But I wouldn't do my part. My flesh in both attempts outpowered me, I put here. And it was back to the world of sin. I believe there are some here this day that has not got it right the first time, the second time, third time. And you find yourself here this morning or viewing on Facebook, amen, with the Lord's agape unconditional love still knocking at your heart and still wanting to answer your SOS within your life. And bringing that change not only in your life, but a change through your life and reaching out to all the other SOSs in Milwaukee. And because I didn't get it right the first time or the second time, once again, I would get deeper into sin. And now I was ODing all the time. I was now on heroin. OD'd 15 times. Back to prison for the second time. Because of the lack of not doing my part of the relationship I had in Christ. And Jesus once again would see the SOS within my life in the prison system there in California. But he would also see the SOS that was going before him in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Whenever the Lord looks at an SOS, he always needs somebody in place to be able to take care of the SOS taking place in whomever life it is or whatever city, state, country. He'll always need a man. He'll always need a woman before he's able to start a work in answering the call, the SOS in the lives of many. This was the third attempt in Jesus reaching out to my life. On the first attempt, I was like 24 years old. The next attempt, I was like 28 years. Years would go by. And then on this last attempt now, I was 32 years old. 8 years would go by because of me not doing my part in the relationship that I had with Christ. And as I continued to fail in the relationship in Christ, my circumstances got worse and worse and worse. To the point where mom and dad could no longer fend for me, no longer could get me out of what I got myself into. It was only the hand of Christ that was not too short to reach me to where I was at in that prison cell there in California. And he would once again come for the third time, knocking at the heart, on my heart, the door of my heart. Amen. And once again, I knew who it was. It was Jesus. And he once again was there for me. This time around, when mom and dad were no longer there for me, my brothers and sisters were no longer there for me. And the third time around, there was only one person that was there for me, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he once again came to my life knocking, seeing the SOS within my life, but also seeing the SOS within the great city of Milwaukee while I was still in prison in California. He was hearing the SOS of the single parent in Milwaukee, the SOS of the man, the woman in prison in the street corner. He was hearing the SOS of sin taking place. When he looked into my life, he needed to get a man right, get a man in position along with his wife and infant family before he would be able to start that work in the great city of Milwaukee. Upon release, the very next day, I would go to the church of Villa Salinas, California. And this time I responded in doing my part of the relationship. And here I stand 25 years later, a saved man of God because of the love of Christ for my life. And even though I turned my back on him, not only once, but twice, the third time around, I did my part. And here I am 25 years later, I say, and I never get tired of saying it, without in 25 years touching a drop of alcohol, a puff of a cigarette, touching any other woman but my wife, married for 23 years. Here, the pastor of Victor Outreach Milwaukee, I thought it was going on 20, but as I did my math and the years I've been saved, it's going on, this year would be going on 19 years here in Milwaukee. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I not only on that day got what I needed and did my part, but God got what he wanted. And having a man and his wife and children to be able to be sent with the call of God, the call of salvation within their lives to the great city of Milwaukee. God also got what he wanted from my life and through my life. And many of you that are viewing right now and that are here are because of that. And there's many right now that are in different churches around the great city of Milwaukee that have come from our church, that are with other denominations right now. Back in the days, it was hard for me to swallow that pill, amen? Today, I'm grateful that they're saved, that they're doing good. It might be at another church, amen, but they still call me. They still remember where the work got started. They still remember where they learned how to pray, how to read, and how to have a true relationship with the Lord. The majority have something to do with prayer in their church they're at right now. The majority have something to do with evangelism that they learned here with us. So I'm excited. I know there's people from California viewing the message going forth right now. Because I chose and I finally got to that place in responding to the call of God upon my life so that he would be able to respond to the SOSS of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Salvation of souls for Milwaukee and still counting. Our Heavenly Father has an SOS going out right now, just as many fathers do for their children and mothers. So SOS, our Heavenly Father has an SOS going out right now. For those that are lost and bound and deceived, not just through addiction, but through education, through finances. Whether they grew up on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. And our Heavenly Father has a SOS going out right now to you and I, the church, to his sons and daughters. He needs us as his extensions, as his mouthpieces, his hands and feet, and being able to accomplish the SOS, salvation of souls in the great city of Milwaukee. And he's pleading right now with his saved sons and daughters of being able to be in position to be used to save those that are still lost out there, that are dying right now. And our Heavenly Father, there's many fathers that are limited right now. We're all limited, but our Heavenly Father's not limited. He's able to bring a great salvation, but he wants to use the church. He wants to use the church. So my question to you here this day is, what part are you doing to enhance, to bring to pass what the Lord wants to do concerning the salvation of Milwaukee? How are you contributing? What's your part? As his sons and daughters that have been saved by grace and mercy, that knows that he's able to save any man, any woman, no matter where they came from. What is your part? As one of the parts, the many parts that make up the body of Christ, that he is the head of. What have you been doing lately to be able to be one of God's extensions in leading people to Jesus? Because that's our purpose. Ultimately, that's our purpose. Our salvation is for the salvation of others, the SOS call of others. And I would say, if you're thinking and you can't come up with how you're contributing to the salvation of Milwaukee, that you would get involved in the church. And that we would take you step for step with the many ministries that are available for you to get a hold of, the many life groups that are available, so that you can learn what salvation is and how the price has already been paid in full for everybody's salvation here in Milwaukee. That you would get involved with the church. It's hard to be someone the Lord uses not being involved in the church, being an isolated Christian. So I would challenge you here this day, if you're viewing through online on Facebook, that you wouldn't get involved in a church wherever you're hearing this broadcast from. And being able to pull off the salvation of souls, the SOS of this world that our Heavenly Father is calling to us this day. And there's many areas that we can miss it in life, at work, marriage, with children. But this is one area we can't miss it. We can't miss it. Because in us missing it means someone else never being saved. Never having the opportunity that you and I here this day have, those viewing on Facebook. It's a different message being preached here this morning, but I believe it's the heartbeat of the Lord. It's the heartbeat of our church. It's my heartbeat for this city. It's not something I just say and preach. It's who we are and what we do. And the enemy's done a great job. Even though we're a frontline ministry, been radically saved, he's done a great job with doing his best and keeping the lost and bound from coming to church. Because he knows the power of Jesus, the salvation, resurrection power of Jesus. And I believe it falls on us, the church here this day, not the mayor. Amen. Not the alderman, not even the president, but it falls on you and I, the church. And we hold the gift of salvation. We possess it. In the beginning, it was for us, and now this gift of salvation that we possess and hold is for others. But I believe too many times we never get past ourselves. And looking further enough to be able to see somebody else's life needing Jesus. I believe the Lord is knocking on somebody's heart at this very moment right now, even here in the sanctuary. The Lord is knocking. Whether it's for a first-time salvation or the Lord's knocking, saying, I want to use you, you're already saved. I believe the Lord is speaking right now. This is who we are and what we do. How many know somebody that's dying right now? How many know 5 people that are lost out there right now? 10 people, 20 people. And the only thing they're missing, and why they're missing in everything they do, is the Christ within their life. And I know that sounds too good to be true, but it's not. They think they can't get it right because they got all these problems. No, they got one problem. They need to be saved. They need to be saved. Me getting saved just catapulted everything from taking place in my life. But I got involved in the church there in Victor Outreach, Salinas. 25 years ago, I got fully involved. On Wednesday, on Friday, twice on Sunday, and rallies in between. I was always at the church as a brand new convert. Something happened when I got saved this third time around. Something happened within my life. And it wasn't that I was so worried about people getting saved. I just followed, got involved with the church. And Pastor Herb was going to the rallies and teaching us and taking us to the need. And it was just as me getting involved in the church that allowed me to learn and see the need and to know the call upon my life. It would have never happened. I would have never been able to see the need if I would have just been a churchgoer. It was when I got involved that I was able not only to see the need, learn about the need, but be about the need. I just got involved with the church, and all of a sudden, the Lord would start taking me and showing me things. And all of a sudden, the call of being a pastor would come. But it came through getting involved in the church. Your purpose will come from getting involved in the church. Too many just want to come to church and go home. As if the purpose is at your house. I believe that the Lord is knocking on somebody's heart right now at this very moment here in the church. And to someone viewing right now on Facebook, whether it's for you or a loved member that you love that needs to be saved. He hears and sees the SOS within your life. But I also believe here this day, just like when I first heard the message, I also believe that some are finding it hard to believe that Jesus can pull it off. That Jesus can change your life. And you're doubting. You're doubting what Jesus says he's able to do in one's life. You're doubting what I'm speaking right now. This might be your first time around, second, third, fourth, fifth time around, and you're hearing the message here this day. I believe some are doubting. See, to be about something, you need to believe it. And I believe there's people doubting right now that Jesus can really change Milwaukee, and he can, hands down. I'm going to go to a quick story in the Bible and close here this day. And before I go into the story, you know, we're doing this work in the school right now. And the furnace, everything's getting installed right now. Prayerfully, within under 2 months, we'll start preparing the business to bring in the much needed finances. And my heart's desire, knowing the need of Milwaukee, every city's different. Every country's different. There's different bondages and different strategies that the enemy uses. And it looks like here in Milwaukee, he's using about every strategy. But my heart's desire is for the business to get up and running, the finances to come. And what we want to specialize in is a rehab for men and women that will hold up to 75 to 100 people. It's not just the hood or the inner city needing rehab right now. Educated people are needing rehab right now. Every color of skin needing rehab right now. The truth is, addiction is taking over the streets of Milwaukee, even the streets of the suburb. And a rehab is needed. We're here not just to lead people unto salvation, but we have a rehab where you can bring your son, where you can bring your husband, where you can bring grandpa. So the plan we have is a godly plan. And it's the rehab plan is a plan that I know very well, that I specialize in. I'm gifted in rehab. I was able to teach Pastor Felipe, and he caught it. He was able to run the rehab for 7.5 years along with his wife and children. He got it to the point where he learned it so good that he was able to transfer it to Brother Jason, that was not even in the cards of ever making it or ever being used of God. But because the vision is clear, and what God did for my life in the many years I ran the rehab, I was able to give it to Pastor Felipe on a silver platter. All the ins and outs, 1,000 corrections, I corrected him. We don't do it like that. We don't do it like that. This is the way we do it under this situation. This is the way we do it under this situation. How was I able to tell him how not to do it? Because when I was the director, I did it every way but the right way. So I knew what the wrong way of doing it was, because that was the old school of Victor Outreach. But I thank the Lord that the Lord over the years matured my life, that I was able to teach him to love the men, to treat them with respect, even when they were wrong. They already knew they were wrong, so what are we going to do in getting them past the wrong? And I was able to give them wisdom and love, even in all the corrections. He took them all, because he knew that my motive for the correction that I was giving him was for the men, was for the salvation and the growth of these men to become who God had called them to be. And then with a 7.5 year span, he would learn these things, and Jason would come into the rehab, and Jason would start raising up in the home. And I said, man, look, Jason's doing good. We can't use him. The guy can't even talk. Can't even talk. He was like a caveman when he came to the rehab, roughly about 10, 12 years ago. Going on 12 years. But then something happened. The SOS went out. And there was a man in position with a pastor that was giving him the goods, that now had the goods to give. And Brother Jason would start raising up. And all of a sudden, his obedience was like none other. He says he loves being without money. Who likes being without money? And when he says it, he means it. And I look at Felipe and I say, this guy's crazy, man. Who don't want money? He says, Pastor, I already had all that. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God. And now we have Brother Jason directing the home now, getting close to a year, 7, 8 months, 9 months, something like that, and doing a great job. I corrected this man 10 times more than I corrected that man. Was that because he was all messed up? No, it's because I taught him to teach him where all the things I corrected him, he was able to give him, for I wouldn't have to come and correct him 1,000 times like I did Pastor Felipe. He gave his, not only the gifts and what he was good at, but where he missed it, he gave it to Jason, where Jason ain't a high maintenance director. I barely ever have to come and check this guy. And it's not because Filippo's all messed up and he's got it all together. It's that he got it. And he was able to give it and teach Jason. So by the time he got raised up to become the director, he wasn't going to be making the mistakes that Felipe made that I corrected. So we got to grow in our salvation. Amen. And now we have Brother Alberto up there in the back. He's raising up. He's a preacher. He's a preacher. He's a 4.0 student in college. You don't have to be a drug addict to be used in Victor Outreach. 4.0 student, accountant student with a 4.0 and got less than a year to graduate. Amen. Glory be to God. preaching the gospel. The gospel of salvation. Lost his younger brother that OD'd on heroin. He had the opportunity. He came to the rehab. But he didn't respond. His girl went back out to the corner and he followed his girl. And little did he know that it was one shot that God was giving him to make it. When God gave me 3 shots in making it. But the good thing about the rehab, he got saved. His brother got saved. And the Lord is the judge of judges. That's not my area. It could have wiped out this family, but now his mother's raising up in the church. She's in the hall monitor downstairs watching the children's ministry because she could have stayed mad with God, but she answered the SOS. And the next mother that's out there, the next single parent. And that's why we're so important to God, people. We are so important to God because we firsthand know what it's like out there. We're so important to God. We have an evangelistic anointing upon our life that's all around the world. The proof is great in every color and tongue. I'm Texan. I'm brown. He's browner. He's from Mexico, born in Mexico. Can I tell him, Felipe? I can tell him anything, right? He got his papers while he was a pastor here. Amen? He bona fide citizen of the USA, but before that took place, he was a citizen of heaven through the salvation that he received in Victory Outreach. This is what we do. This is who we are. And I don't care what the bank account says of how much they have in the suburb, in the bank, when a son or a daughter falls prey to addiction. No money can help. This is why we're here. This is our purpose and our existence. And that's why I say that God is on the move right now, because I'm relentless. Just like I was on that cracked door, I'm relentless on the door of Christ, and I knock every day. I ask and seek and knock every day of the Lord that what I want is what you want. What I want is what you want. Not my will, but thy will be done. But we need people to rise up because people are dying. And a lot of us that are here right now have many track stories why you should be dead. But you're here, hearing the voice behind the voice, because God saw it fit to say, I want to use your life. I want to use your life to bring salvation. This is what takes place. We want to raise up a big, big, big rehab. I'm not talking big. I'm not talking prideful. I'm talking what Christ has given my life. There's a reason he's giving us a big facility, a school, a big house. Just the upstairs of that house holds up 50, 75 people. It's got 20 rooms in that house. It was for the priests and the nuns before. It's got all kinds of baths and showers, and it's nice. It's real nice. But that might not be the location. Because I know if the business gets going and the church gets going, amen, that we will be able to purchase the facility strictly for rehab. Where people will be coming. Not only from Milwaukee, but from all around the world. To come to this high-end, anointed in Christ rehab. Can you believe with me in what the Lord has given me? There's a SOS taking place right now. That don't leave me at all. All day long, I want to be happy, but I'm just constantly thinking, how can we get this city saved? Who is God going to raise up next? Pastor Felipe, Brother Jason, Brother Alberto. Oh, I got back. I'm a Texan. He's from Mexico. He's black from the north side. What color are you, Alberto? He's Mexican too, man. Which is Southside Mexican. We call him Puerto Rican. We just call him Puerto Rican. But how God, I need me a white brother raise up. Who's the white brother? I need a white brother raise up. We're going to have all hands on deck on this rehab. That is going to be helping thousands and thousands of men and women. My faith says, what's the name of that lady preacher still around? If Joyce Myers can do it, we can do it. Joyce Myers. Battlefield of the mind. I got battlefield of the mind right now going on. We have an anointing to do it. We've been called to do it. The proof is all around the world. Everybody calling us, and it's going to be packed out rehab, whether it's at 75 or 100, because it's going to be done so nice, so right. And it not just look nice and be done right, but the results of men and women having their lives transformed is going to be for all to see. The proof is going to be there. I have a revelation that says that there's going to be more white Caucasian in that rehab than there is of any color. Because money and education ain't the answer. If it was, our vision would be on education and money. Who's with me here this day? It's right around the corner. I've been working hard for a lot of years. Now it's right before us. Right before us. Brother Ricardo has come again to the service. And right after that, I'm taking him for a little walk to go see the furnaces in the school. To see the beginning, the before picture. So the next time he comes and visits, he goes, man, Pastor Charlie, it actually happened. Yes, it did. God's wanted to bring a mighty salvation, SOS, a salvation of souls. Man, I never got to my story. I can do it in 2 minutes. Everybody says, no, you can't. You might be right. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. As we go to John chapter 20, please. 24 to 29. His name is Thomas, Doubting Thomas. I believe a lot of times we don't do what we do because we doubt. We doubt that God ain't really going to do it. We're just here because, but we really don't believe what Pastor's saying. And you're doubting. It's the opposite word of faith. This takes place right after the resurrection. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, we know him as Doubting Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. Amen? Jesus came to show himself right after the resurrection. And Doubting Thomas, usually when you're doubting, you're usually out of position. He wasn't there when Jesus came, coming through the walls, through a locked door. Amen? Jesus didn't come knocking then. And the Bible goes on to say, they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and a place in my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, tell your neighbor, 8 days later.
8 days later.
Jesus comes making his rounds again, amen, after the resurrection. And this time, guess who was there? Doubting Thomas. I ain't gonna believe it. I ain't gonna believe it till I see him and I see the marks and I put my hand on his side. Proof. He wanted proof. 8 days later, the disciples were there together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, Call them up. He says, put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And then Thomas responds, my Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So here, doubting Thomas got the proof he needed in order to be able to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. It wasn't a counterfeit. He came with the marks. Amen? Jesus was able to set him free in his disbelief and doubt for him to be a believer. Was it only Thomas that was doubting? The other disciples were all there the first time Jesus came into the room. Let's go on to see what proof he gave the other disciples. John 20, 19 and 21. This is when he showed himself to the disciples when Thomas wasn't there. Amen? It was Sunday evening. The resurrection happened in the morning where the women came, amen, to the tomb. And now it's Sunday evening and Jesus showing up at their crib. Amen? It says that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. The same thing he told Thomas. Look what he spoke. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Tells us you can be in position and still have doubt. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. The truth here this morning, all the disciples were doubting the words of Jesus. It was not only Thomas that needed to see the marks on Jesus. He came showing all the disciples. Because before that, they all went fishing after he died. They also all doubted and did not believe that Jesus would raise on the third day. So after the Sunday evening and the eighth day later with Thomas, all the disciples were in one accord and believing. And that's what I'm trying to establish here this day. A belief that Jesus is able to save. And whether you were there or not there, whether you missed it for a few times, suddenly, like the time before, Jesus is here in his house. He's here in his house. He didn't have to knock at the doors, at the entrance, but he's knocking at your heart right now. And it's a two-way knock. One for salvation and the other one to be used to bring salvation. This is your purpose. This is my purpose. In everything that we do, as the worship team makes their way, please. The point is, what God wants from our lives will always connect to a SOS. What God wants from our lives will always connect to a SOS. Somebody else's distress. Call for help. Because they've tried everything. And their son, their daughter, is still going the wrong way. The SOS of Jesus. We have the plan, church. And the plan is you and I. I know that's hard to believe. That one should make us doubt. I understand. But the truth is, Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Right now, the Lord is using White Jason. We call him White Jason because he's Jason. They were both in the rehab at the same time. He was called Black Jason. He was called White Jason. That way, everybody can know on Facebook. Yeah, we communicate like that. That's not proper. The problem with the churches is right now they're trying to be proper. They're trying to be polished. And have no heavenly good here on earth. Nothing. My question is, what are you doing for the salvation of the lost and the bound? That wraps up every message you preach every Sunday, from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelations. It's about salvation. It's about salvation. It's about God using imperfect people to do a great work. Why Jason, his real name is Christensen, got kicked out of the rehab. He was in there for 2 years, couldn't get it. He was doing great, but he still wanted a smoke on the side. And I gave him a chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. And not because I couldn't give him another chance, I just didn't want to hear another lie. So one day I said, you got to go, bro. It's time to go. You made your bed, it's time to go line it. To this day, he's sitting right there. That's Jason. Raise your hand, Jason. He's having to live with his brother in the hood and a little hard mat on the floor with a window that's broken with all the cold air coming in. His brother's lost and bound, making him pay all the rent. He now got a high-paying, good job company vehicle. Don't know nothing about heating and AC and sheet metal. Don't know nothing. And he's the one doing all the work in the school right now. God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people, imperfect people that he can use. You don't have to be perfect. He's the one that is perfect as we stand this day. I'm excited, guys. If you see me quiet at times, if you see me talking loud at times, it's because God has given me a vision for the lost and the bound, and I'm going to hit it and hit it and hit it till my last breath. Because if he gave it, he will do it. Amen. If he gave it, he will do it. But he needs people to pull it off. He needs people here this day. Can he use your life? Think on how the Lord can use your life in helping here at the church, whether it's to clean, if you're still drinking, if you're still smoking. I got some stuff for you to do still. You know, it's the outer court stuff, but I got some stuff you can still do to be a big help in the church. To be a big help. There's always something to do in the church in the preparation of the great salvation of the SOS coming to pass. That's coming from the Father here this day. I want you to raise your hands right there where you're at. Don't look at your problems. Just look on how great God is right now. I see men and women out there lost and bound that one day are going to get the flyer. One day are going to receive salvation. One day are going to be in the church. One day are going to be in the rehab. Raised up to be great leaders. Grateful, great leaders. Great men of God, great women of God that has been saved by God's grace and mercy. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to get excited behind what the Father's Son did at the cross of Calvary. Oh, there's a mighty, mighty wind that's about to start blowing. Oh, there's a mighty, mighty salvation about to take place in the great city of Milwaukee. Oh, like none ever before. That everybody will be able to see. Everybody will be able to talk about. Oh, hear the voice behind. Be part of the master's plan. Be part of the Master's plan. Please.
I will follow you.
Hallelujah. SOS. There's an SOS.
I will answer the call.
There's an SOS taking place right now. A salvation of souls. Do you hear the SOS? Single parents. All distress. Do you hear? Do you hear the SOS of the Father? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Open our ears. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to the great salvation. Yes, 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 Lord.